Before we start, I want to commend the church, but also just a little bit of correction as well to help going forward. But first of all, anybody that gave into that offering or has made them food and showed up and done things for them or been taking time out of your life to pray, thank you so much. You know, it's times when we're hurting, we ought to, as a family, rally around one another and help pull each other up. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then just a little bit of correction, you know. I've noticed this. I noticed it at the picnic. I've noticed it in fellowship. And we really, really need to change this. And it's going to take everybody tonight making a decision to say, okay, pastor's saying this. I'm not just saying it just to say something. It's the truth. I've noticed it. Something stood out in my heart. It's going to take people endeavoring to say, okay, pastor said that. That's a ministry. I can do that. I can serve in that way. I've seen newer people come in the last few weeks, you know, and there'll be times at the picnic or times in fellowship, and I see it, and they're all by themselves, and they're sitting all by themselves, and, you know, I'll sometimes have to ask people if you'll go talk to them and stuff, because I'm always quick to rush to new people, but they're not going to stick around if they don't feel wanted by you. What I'm saying is they're going to be around you more. They're going to be around me, you know, and I'm kind of up here preaching to people and just me loving on them. But I've noticed it so many times, and I just need people to, you know, take what I'm saying to heart, that it's a true thing, and we need to make people feel so loved and welcomed around here. And I know at times that's beyond our personality, and it's above and beyond maybe what our comfort level is. But, you know, I'm convinced that it wasn't comfortable for Jesus to go to the cross. But he did what was necessary. Amen? And, you know, people come in and they're sitting all alone at the picnic, sitting all alone in fellowship, and nobody's, you know, I've even had people come to me and say, man, I saw so-and-so, and this was, I had people confirm this after I had seen it and it had been on my radar, and I forgot to mention something Sunday about it, and then I saw it again in fellowship. We need people to step up and say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to come to church, and my mission is going to be to look for newer people and go and make them feel comfortable. Let them know, I'm glad you're here. This is my name. What's your name? Just something like that. Amen? If they're over in fellowship and they're sitting by themselves, I don't care if I don't know them. I'm going to go sit next to them and talk to them and go above my comfort. I mean, I don't do so much wonders for people. And so I'm asking for that. And so let's be a church that doesn't just say we love, but demonstrates our love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Father, it's our help. It's our answer. It's our path to victory. And Lord, we thank you as the Word gets ministered tonight. It'll be done in boldness. It'll be done in utterance. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I thank you that we'll go to a new level of glory tonight. And everyone will be changed. Every heart will be touched. Every life will be changed tonight, Father. And we give you the praise for it, Father. We thank you that people would come out on what might be the warmest last day of the year, you know, possibly, Father, of 2018. But here they are in church on a Wednesday night. So, Father, bless them. Give them something specific for their life tonight. And we know you will. So we thank you beforehand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to, we'll start in, we'll start in Romans 12, verse 2. We'll get there eventually. I want to say some things first, but I want to build upon, the reason I want to do it is because it seemed good to the Spirit as I was waiting on God for the message, but I want to build upon something that I mentioned in Sunday's message. And one of the things we talked about in Sunday's message, you know, was to stay out of your head and stay into your heart. And, you know, there are things in life that, man, they can be used for really good or they can be used for really bad, right? And example that, as I was meditating and praying concerning what we're talking about tonight is, you know, electricity is a great example of that. Electricity has power, and that power can, we're thankful for that power. If we tap into that power the right way, it blesses us. Amen. We can see, we can use different things around the house and just do a whole lot of things with electricity that people used to not be able to do, you know. But also, if electricity is not handled properly, it can be disastrous. And it can, the same thing that's used to be such a blessing and change our lives for good can be a curse and change your life for bad if it's not handled properly. You know, I had the Amish at our house not too long ago doing some work, and they must just not be used to working around electricity, because, and I'm not smart when it comes to this stuff, so I expect to be told everything, but my light socket was sitting outside of the wall, and because they're doing something to it. And I just thought, I'd go up to it and turn that thing on. Man, I touched that thing and woo! There was a Holy Ghost dance there, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. That's kind of like the other day, you know, I was in the woods and I just was getting ready to step down, and I thought, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something. I thought it was a skunk at first by the color, but I realized it was a porcupine. And I just almost stepped on a porcupine, and then I went, woo-hoo-hoo! I was so scared, and I'm in the woods. I was Holy Ghost dancing without the Holy Ghost present. But that's what happens with electricity, you know. It can be good or it can be bad. And it's the same thing with the mind. The mind is so powerful. And it can be used for good or it can be disastrous if it's not handled the right way and used for bad. And I talked about Sunday about not living out of your mind, and it seemed good to build upon that. And so we need to make sure that... we're doing the right things with our mind. Just like if you're working with electricity, you better know what you're doing and do the right things with electricity. Don't be me. Or you'll be doing a Holy Ghost dance too. Man, that hurt. Ooh, that hurt. But I want to talk about the power of the mind tonight. I want to talk about good ways that it can be harnessed right, but then also the negative things that we need to watch out for. Because... you know, just because electricity can be bad doesn't mean we just throw it out and say, well, we don't want it then. No, let's learn how to do it right. Same with the mind. We'll just throw it. No, we need our minds, but let's learn to do it the right way. And so Romans 12 and verse 2, talking about the power of the mind. I want to look at one of the good ways that the power can be harnessed in the mind. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed into what? Well, he tells us here that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is what we strive for. Amen? Amen? That's what we want. My goodness, that's where the favor is. That's where the prosperity is, the protection, the wisdom, the blessing is there. But notice this, the perfect will of God, that is the bullseye of the Christian's target. That's where we want to hit. If we're shooting as a Christian for the bullseye is perfect will of God. That's what we want. Dead center in God's perfect will. That's where the best blessing will be for you and all your influence around you and things like that. Your life can never achieve that bullseye apart from your mind doing the right thing. He says, be transformed into that perfect will of God by, or this is how you're going to do it, by renewing your mind. Amen. Amen. You can't get into God's perfect will until you renew your mind. And renewing your mind is simply taking on God's thoughts, thinking like God. Because look at what it says in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It would do us good to be humble and to just come to the realization that we don't think like God apart from the renewed mind. That the way you think is not the way God thinks. And that's the problem. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Why? Because look what it says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way. Remember, he says, my ways. See, we go the way we think. That's what... when you think something, then you're going to go that way. So that's why he says, my thoughts and my ways aren't how you do things, how you think. But the Bible says there is a way that seems in your mind, it seems like a good idea, You ever been there on the other side of that seeming good idea and think, nope, that wasn't a good idea? The time I tried to, on turkey season, it might have been opening day. It was the first 2 days or something of turkey season. And I tried to cross the river in my truck. I got through in the morning before the rain came, but the rains came and the floods rose. I mean, it was biblical. Matthew 7 was happening. And I said, I can do that. And I got in the middle of that thing and couldn't get through. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Seemed like it, but my ways aren't his ways. My thoughts aren't his thoughts. It says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof, or man's thoughts or man's ways lead to death. That's decrease, by the way. Yeah. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. So we need to adopt God's thoughts because God's ways don't lead to death. Remember what he said in Proverbs 3? He said, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own thinking or own understanding, right? Acknowledge me in all my ways. Why? Because your ways are wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. How you would do it is wrong. But if you'll acknowledge me, I'll give you my thoughts. I'll give you my ways of doing it, and then your paths will be directed. Paths to what? The perfect will of God. And so we need to adopt God's ways of thinking to renew our mind in all areas, praise God. And that's a lot of the problems that people have because they have refused to take on God's thoughts and then walk out God's ways from that way. A whole lot of people, I'll use this as an example. There's a whole lot of people. Well, I'm thinking of a specific person right now, they're not from this church, who know the Bible. Their life is a mess, literally hell on earth. But yet their mentality is, I know Jesus. I'm telling you, this isn't just me making this up. This is people's mentality. I know Jesus, and I have my Bible, and that's good enough. Yet you would think, now see, the devil's got them so deceived, you would think that they would look around and say, this ain't working. Well, what's renewing their mind? Renewing their mind to God's thoughts is, without a shepherd, you're scattered and faint. Planted in a house of God, then you'll flourish. But see, people just do it their own way, their own thoughts. And if we would just get Isaiah 55 into us right now, we better make sure before what we're thinking and the way we're going, we got to make sure, is this God's ways and God's thoughts? Because if they're not, they're going to lead to something bad. Amen. People do it all the time with money. They think that pastor talks about the tithe. But why is the pastor talking about the tithe? Because that's what the Word says. Pastor talks about being generous and giving. But why is pastor talking about that? Because that's what the Word says. What is the Word? The Word is God's thoughts. The Word is God's ways. Amen. Hallelujah. And so people all the time, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. Yet they can't pay their bills and they're struggling, but I don't think that's right. They're just constantly circling the mountain of poverty. Constantly circling the mountain of frustration. But their ways. Yeah, your ways are leading you to death, poverty, and decrease. Hallelujah. So you'll never get into the perfect will of God until your mind's renewed to the Word, and that's thinking like God thinks. So that's power in the mind. Think about what the power of the mind harnesses. Either it'll keep you in God's perfect will or take you out and disqualify you from it. Wow. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper. Prosperity is more than money, isn't it? But money's included. And be in health. That's good. Even as your soul prospers. So even as your soul prospers means as your soul, and the soul there is the mind of a person, their thoughts, their thought life. He says, as your thinking goes, so will your prosperity in life and your health go. What's he saying? Well, what's prosperity in health? You know what prosperity and health are? Abundant life. Well, go with me to Isaiah 26:3. Let's look at another example of abundant life. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, I'll keep him in perfect peace. Well, perfect peace sounds like abundant life to me. Because what is the abundant life of God? The abundant life of God is enjoying life like God enjoys it, or what we like to call heaven on the earth. Well, prosperity in all your areas of life and health and peace, that's abundant life. That's the real deal. That's heaven upon the earth. Now, the difference, the way heaven's going to be different than earth, is heaven, we won't have the same tests and trials, though, that try to pull us out of the abundant life. But we can walk in abundant life down here, but only as so much as our mind prospers. And he said, I'll keep you in abundant life. That's what peace is, abundant life. He says, I'll keep you in abundant life if your mind. 3 John 2 said, if your mind is right, you'll have prosperity and good health. Isaiah 26:3 says, if your mind is right, you'll have peace in your life. Amen. See the power of the mind? Yeah. The mind can get you in and out of God's will. The mind can get you in and out of abundant life. Wow. Man, abundant life, is it even possible? Prosperity and good success, thinking like God thinks. Now, the mind can be used for good, but now let's take a look at some of the things that the mind can be used for bad. Go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. So electricity is great. We can see tonight. Hallelujah. You go home and make your microwave popcorn. That stuff's addicting. You know, when you eat that stuff, and it's got that fake butter. I mean, I can't think. I said the other night to her, I said, I can't imagine there being much things really worse for you than microwave popcorn. She said, yeah, it's on a list. It's on a list of worst things for you as I'm popping it and eating it. But you can make that stuff. You can curl your hair and do all sorts of dry your hair and stuff. And electricity's good. Amen? Amen? But if it's not used right, it's bad too. The mind's good. Why? Without the mind, you can't get into the perfect will of God. Without the mind, you can't get into abundant life, perfect peace, prosperity, and good health. So 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now look at this. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, how many know that's where we are? Because if you need a quick dispensation on the end times, let me just say it to you like this. In Acts chapter 2, when they were questioning and saying, what in the world is this that's happening? All these, this tongues business, you know, and Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So Peter defined the last days starting at the day of Pentecost. That was 2,000 some years ago. How much more in the last days, if they started back then, the last days, and we're 2,000 years ahead in the last days, that means we're closer to the end than ever before. Amen. Obviously, when you watch a movie, or as time goes on, you're closer to the end. But I mean in the sense of how far ahead we are from when they started. And so he says, speaks expressly in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith. How is that even possible? That means they were once in the faith. They were receiving the benefits of being in the faith. How? Giving heed or paying attention or minding, giving your mind to, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But anyways, go back to verse 1. How do people then get sidetracked and railroaded from God's plan, God's purposes? Because we said you can get into God's perfect will, you can be taken out. You can get into abundant life, you can be taken out by the mind. Well, here's how it tells you how you get knocked out of it. You give heed to seducing spirits. But the bigger one that really brings it out clear to me is doctrines of devils. Well, what is the devil? The devil is anti-God. So a doctrine of the devil would be anything that is anti-Bible. Because the doctrine we believe of God is the Word. Doctrine of devil or doctrine of anti-God thoughts, anti-God ways. Well, where does he give the mind to seduce people? In their heads. By what? Seducing them with thoughts, with ideas. Isn't that how he worked on Adam and Eve? That's the best example there is of really seeing it. He tried it on Jesus, but he couldn't succeed. Well, what does that mean? Well, what was the doctrine of God? We don't need to go back and look at this for time's sake. What was the doctrine of God? Don't eat from the one tree. That was the word or doctrine of God. Well, let's think about what are some of the words and doctrines of God that keep us in abundant life and the perfect will of God. Well, walk in love. Forgive. Give. Go to church. Have a pastor. All these things are doctrines of God. But then the devil comes to try to pull you out. By how? By seducing you, trying to get your mind off of the word of God through a doctrine of the devil. So God's word back then in the garden was, don't eat this tree. That was biblical. Biblical. I tell you, watch out with me. I'll make up words as we go. That was biblical. That's our new word for the night. But that was the word back then. Don't eat from this tree. Don't do it. Well, that was God's perfect will for them. Look at what they were disqualified from. They were disqualified from abundant life and the perfect will of God because the enemy came along and seduced them. How? With a doctrine of the devil. What's a doctrine of the devil? Anything anti-God's word. So what did he say to them? He said, what did God say to you? And she said, well, God said, she's quoting the word, God said we are to eat anything we want except for this one tree. If we eat from this one tree, God says we're going to die. That was right out of God's mouth. Well, God says, I'm kind of bringing it, we're going back then into present. God says, walk in love or your faith will be messed up. That's what he says. God says, tithe. Doesn't it say that? See, we don't understand the power of the tithe. Go look at verse 10, 11, and 12 in Malachi 3. Talking about the devourer. Talking about our fruit won't be cast before the time in the field. And nations of the earth calling you blessed. Remember when Reverend Greer was here? And he was led by the Spirit of God. And he had said, I hadn't preached this in a... He couldn't remember the last time, or if he ever did. I can't remember what he said, but it was something along those lines. And he preached on the tithe, but what was the main thing he preached on? The dangers of not doing it. The dangers of not doing it. Well, in the garden, there were dangers for not doing God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. So God says to forgive. God says plant a church and be watered. So then the enemy comes along with these doctrines of God and he tries to seduce you away from them because if you do the word, that's when you're blessed. Amen. And so they're in the garden and he says, yeah, we'll die. God said, we'll die. And what's the devil say? No, you won't. In fact, God knows if you'll eat it, you'll become like him, knowing good and evil. You become like gods, is what the devil said. So he sweetened the deal of disobedience, didn't he? He seduced them through a doctrine of the devil. Well, he does the same thing to us. Well, you have a right to be angry at them. You have a right to hold a grudge. You have a right to still bring that up and be unforgiving. Okay, you can do that if you want to, but it's going to cost you abundant life, and it's going to cost you the perfect will of God. Amen, it will. Well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give, and I got bills to pay, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, but it's going to cost you abundant life. And not just in your money. It'll show up in other places. Well, I'm too busy to go to church. Okay. That's fine. You can say that. But it's going to cost you peace and prosperity and health. It just will. It just will. Hallelujah. And so the devil said that to them. And they what? Were seduced. They gave heed to the doctrine of the devil. And what did it do? It pulled them off of God's word and pulled them right out of abundant life. You know what the Garden of Eden was? It was abundant life. The Garden of Eden was heaven on earth. It was perfect peace. And they were pulled out of it. How? They gave heed. How did he get them to pull them out? He didn't force them out. Didn't hold them down and shove that food in their mouth to eat it, did he? He simply worked on their mind. That's all he did. See how powerful the mind is? I'm going to tell you how to stay safe here in a second. But see, the devil's arena is the thought life. And just likewise, he came to do that to Jesus, didn't he? In the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted to the devil 40 days, and he points out three of those temptations, tells him to turn something into bread, tells him to jump off the cliff, tells him to fall down and worship him. You know, and he sweetens the deal too. He tempts them. He seduces Jesus, right? Amen. Hallelujah. And how did he do it with Jesus? He couldn't push him off the cliff. Couldn't force Jesus to bow. And couldn't force Jesus to obey him to turn that bread or that stone into bread. So what did he do? He talked to his mind. Tried to pull him out of the perfect will of God by talking to his mind. But Jesus didn't budge, did he? Well, like I've always said, the greatest threat on planet Earth when Adam and Eve were around, guess who? Adam and Eve. The greatest threat to the devil when Jesus was around was guess who? The devil. Well, guess who the greatest threat on planet Earth is to the devil now? You and me. We are the greatest threat to the devil now. To thwart his plan, to pull people out of his kingdom, to be examples of what a Christian looks like and what God's abundant life can be. We're threats to his kingdom. So how's he going to work on us? He's going to work on your mind. Seducing you, trying to pull you out. Only can do it with your head. He must deceive you before he can hurt you. Wouldn't he just do it if he could? He's first got to get you to cooperate with the process. If he could just do what he needed to do to gain control of planet Earth to Adam and Eve, why go through the whole fruit thing? Why not just force it upon them and take that control? Because he needs to deceive them before he can hurt them. Why not just push Jesus off the cliff and force Jesus to disobey? Because he can't. He needed to first deceive Jesus before he could hurt him. How's he going to work against us? He needs to first deceive us before he can hurt us. And how does he do it? Through the mind. Through the mind. Not having a renewed mind. You know, a lot of Christians give the devil way too much credit. One minister said it this way, that the biggest problem I've found is not the devil or God, it's myself. You know what stands in the way of most people's abundant life? It's not, stop giving the big bad devil credit when the Bible says he's defeated. You're ignorant when you say the devil's the reason. It's ignorance. No, a lot of times people's biggest problems is your unrenewed mind and your flesh. Oh, that got quiet when I said flesh. Our flesh gets us into things and causes us to be carnal and miss out, and our mind's unrenewed to the Word. But when things happen, we just like to blame the devil all the time. And I'm not saying the devil can't attack, because he can. I'm not saying that he's out there. The Bible says adversary. But there are times that he gets his way because we cooperate with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve, he did it. Jesus, he's going to do the same thing to you. Now go with me to James 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Showing you the power of the mind, shows us here in this verse, this strong wording in James 1 verse 21. So just like electricity, man, if it's used right, boy, it's a blessing. But if it's not used right, it can be harmful. It can lead to very bad things. Same with the mind. Man, the mind done right can get us into God's perfect will. You can't get in there without the mind. Can't be transformed without the mind. You can't get into heaven on earth without the mind being right. And so James 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls or save your mind. We know that's talking about the mind there. He's already writing to Christians, or Christian doesn't need their soul saved, spirit saved. They're already saved. But our mind needs to be renewed. That's the renewing of the mind, the saving of the soul, the saving of the mind. But notice the strong wording. Think of how powerful it is that the mind needs saving. The mind needs rescuing. When somebody's going down the Niagara River and they're going for rescue, because they're going the wrong way and they need saving and they need rescuing, and if they don't get pulled back and the right way, it's going to turn out bad. The mind needs rescuing because the mind wants to go the wrong way. The mind wants to wander. The mind wants to do its own thing. It needs rescue. Now listen to what that word means, to save your souls. If you look that up in the Greek, it means to keep safe and sound. The mind needs to be kept safe and sound. Now when I was meditating on that, the Lord gave me an example from my past. An illustration. You know, we pray for illustrations. Illustrations and stories, I think they bring it out. Yes. They're easy to... Brother Hagin would say it this way, that when there's illustrations and stories in a message, it's like putting windows... It's like there's a house with no windows without the illustrations and the examples, but when the illustrations and examples come, it's like putting a window and you can see through some things. Amen? And I remember there was a dog by the name of Sable. And she was a black lab that... was owned by Reverend Randy and Karini Nelbohm, people that go to Pastor Tim's church, the gentleman that led me to Jesus, and they opened their home to me. And I was around them a lot, and they had a dog named Sable, and she was a black lab, and just the sweetest, sweetest thing, you know. And so I think they nicknamed her, her nickname was Perp, and I think it's because when Karini came over from Brazil, you could hardly understand her, and she didn't call her a puppy, she called her a Perpy. So her nickname was Perp. And so anyways, like, you didn't need to know that, but that came up in my mind. I thought, well, if I'm thinking about it, you need to think about it too. You need to hear what's going on up here. Amen. I just want to include you in what's happening. That's what I'm trying to do. So anyway, that's why Perp, we'll call her Perp, you know, sweet dog. But as soon as that dog would be outside and would not be on a leash or not in the confines of the home or in a pen, that dog would take off, and it was a process of trying to get that dog back. And so that dog, when it was off a leash, you know, and not guarded and watched, it would run free and do its own thing. But the problem with that was it was a busy road of people driving 60, 65, 70 miles an hour on. And so that dog, Perp, you know, Perpy, remember we talked about that a couple minutes ago? That dog needed to be rescued or saved or kept safe and sound, because if it was left to its own devices, it would wander and run and get into things that it wasn't supposed to. And the Bible says that our minds need to be rescued. They need to be saved. They need to be kept, guarded, and safe and sound. Now, how is that done? Well, the Bible tells us here. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, how can the word save your souls? Well, when you renew your mind to the word, and also, how does the devil try to get you out and to obey? He seduces you by telling you things to get you to do that things that aren't the word, to get you to wander outside. The word of God needs to be the electric dog fence, since we're talking about Perp. Short for Perpy. Just in case you forgot. So the electric fence does what? Keeps the dog within the confines. The gate, the house, keeps the dog where you want it. What does the word do? The word is a fence, a boundary, a guard that keeps us safe. So when your mind starts to try to wander outside that, the way you're going to stay safe is, okay, this is my parameters, this is my fence. Anything that's outside of that is going to lead me to danger and lead me to hurt. Because the only time Perp was safe was when she was on the leash, but behind the fence or inside the house behind the doors. And the Bible says our minds need to be rescued. How? By the word of God. You know what would save her when she goes outside? A leash would save her. You know what would save her when she goes outside? The underground electric fence would save her. You know what saved her when she go outside? Being in a pen behind a wall that she can't get over or get through. It saves her. The doors on the house that are shut, they save her because she gets running around and she don't know to look both ways. She's just going to run where she goes. And if a deer scent takes her across the road, she's going to run across the road and play lottery with her life. Amen. It's true. And that's what it is with our minds. So our minds need rescuing. How are we going to rescue them? Because remember, if your mind's not in the right place, you are disqualified from abundant life. You are disqualified from perfect peace. You are disqualified from the perfect will of God. How are you going to keep your mind in that safe and sound place? By keeping it within the confines of the Bible. If Adam and Eve would have kept their thought life in the confines of the Bible, they would have not missed out on abundant life. They would have not missed out on perfect peace. When they let their mind escape, because what? God said this, that was the confines, this is the electric fence, the box that you're in, the guard. When the devil spoke outside of the fence and said, you can eat that, that was something that was not within what God said, that should be their instant thought to, I can't touch that. I can't touch that. If I go outside of that, that's where danger lies. That's where disqualification lies. 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And before we leave tonight, we're going to lift up the Mirzwas in prayer. Amen. And make power available for them. And tomorrow's not going to be an easy day for them. In the natural, you know what I mean by that. And it's just going to be a tough day, but we're going to make power for them. And I've been talking with them every day, just pumping them full of faith injections. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why it's important for people to have a pastor? I'm going to tell you why. Because the world won't pump faith injections into you. The world will constantly pump doom and gloom into you. And I'm not saying a situation like this you don't grieve. And I'm not saying a situation like this you're not sad. I mean, you'd be robotic and you'd be almost, I was going to use the word moronic, to not be sad or moved or touched. That's not, but God says we don't sorrow as people that don't have hope. There's a difference in sorrowing as one with no hope, which is no faith, and sorrowing as one that has hope. Amen. And people need pastors because the world's not pumping the hope into them. They're not. The devil's not pumping hope into people. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll be that guy. Amen. I'll do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We know that's the devil's goal, to get you in a stronghold. Here it is now. Casting down imaginations. What is that? That's thoughts. But what kind of thoughts? High things that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Or you could say it this way. Things outside the fence. You can eat from the tree, you won't die, you'll be like a god. You know what that is? That's a high thing exalting itself above what God said outside the fence. To pull you out. He says, cast down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. How are you going to do that? This is how you're going to do it. By bringing into captivity every thought. What are thoughts? Thoughts are, is your mind in action. And the mind is powerful and can get you into things and pull you out of things. Keep you out of things. Bringing into captivity every thought to where? To the fence. To the gate. To the safe and sound place. So when we talk about the power of the mind, the way that you can stay safe, it's so simple. Anytime a thought, the devil gives you a thought. Somebody on the outside gives you a thought. Something comes to you, a way, a thought comes to you. Remember, your ways and your thoughts. How do you know if it's safe or not? How do you know a pastor or what you're listening to, preaching and teaching, if it's safe or not? You take that thought, that word, that way, and you bring it inside here to the obedience of the word, and you see, is that what this says? That's why I appreciate Brother Hagin so much. If you study his life, when he would have big crusades year after year, a lot of times, plans, purposes, and pursuits were one of these things where doctrines were sweeping through the body of Christ. And Brother Hagin, doctrines that are outside of the Bible, and he would come and preach it and say, this is what the word says of that. And then there'd be so many people that would hear that, that it would be able to influence all these churches and things, you know. One of the main things that came out with Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits was that people didn't know what praise and worship was. It was all flesh worship and people getting into the clapping for worship. You clap for humans, you raise your hands for God. Amen? Amen. You praise God. People say, well, there's one verse that talks about clapping your hands. But it doesn't say, talking about, that's how we praise our Father. We praise our Father with our lips and with our hands. Amen? Amen? And that was sweeping through, and it was disrupting things. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a service? And see, I can speak it. We're all home folk here tonight. You ever been in a service? People start clapping, and check your spirit when it happens. Something just doesn't sit right. It's disruptive. It's disruptive. Amen. It's just check your heart. But, you know, we got Bible out too. But anyways, that's what he would do. He would preach on things. That's why when he had that, what they call the financial seminar, where he gathered all the big name ministers that were on TV and had the big churches and sat them down and said, in the body of Christ, we're getting into excess on this financial teaching. We're getting away from the... That's where his book, The Midas Touch, came out of. A balanced, biblical, financial book. He's brought... Because there was all this crazy teaching about the hundredfold return and that every time you give a seed, you can expect a hundredfold return. Do you know how multi-million billionaires we'd be if we got a hundredfold return on every seed you gave? And that's what they were getting in that. If you're not getting a hundredfold return on every seed, well, I don't know anybody. Come on. Right? Now, there is a truth of getting the max potential out of every seed. But people are getting in a ditch, so what did he do? He brought them back into the confines of the Bible. Amen. He was safe, amen? That's why when Reverend Greer said, any sweeping wind of doctrine you'd hear in the body of Christ... You know, there's crazy things that, see, we're kept from a lot of these things. The whole gold dust phenomenon and feathers falling out of people's. And he'd bring it back to the Word and said, that ain't in there. And then come to find out it was all bunk, junk, and hogwash, as Reverend Greer would say, right? Stealing from him. But the Word keeps us safe, people. How do you, renewing your mind will transform you into the perfect will of God. Your mind prospering will get you into the abundant life of God. And the devil will try to pull you out. How do you make sure your mind's safe? The mind must think like this. Your thoughts are only in this confines of this book. Amen? Amen. How you raise your children, what you do in relationships, what you do with your money, what you do concerning going to church, what you do with your love walk, what you do concerning a topic of forgiveness that has so strong feelings and bitterness, and how you act at your job. We only think and act in line with this. Amen. This is our guide. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So don't forget how powerful your mind is in every thought that comes through. Bring it to the Bible and reject every other ones that aren't the Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. See, before we even pray, you know, talking about the Mirzwas and even in the church, and the devil can give some thoughts during this time. Amen? But if we bring it back to the Word, it'll dispel all those thoughts the devil will give us. Amen? I just bring it back to the Word. Devil would love to pull us out of some things and get us into some things into our head. But no, we'll just stick with the Bible. Keep us safe. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you and magnify you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, we thank you for your Word. It points these things out. Lord, I'm sitting here in awe thinking, what in the world would we have done if you didn't give us your Word? We would have no idea. We would be subject to every whim, every wind of doctrine, every wind of change, every thought that comes in. We wouldn't know what in the world to do. But Father, your Word is a light and a lamp to guide and direct us, to keep us from the wrong things, to get us into the good things, to direct us, to lead us. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. And Father, I pray that people would take Romans 12 and verse 2 seriously, that they would renew their mind. What are they thinking of concerning finances? What are they thinking concerning their bodies? What are they thinking concerning church and being faithful? What are they thinking concerning serving? What are they thinking concerning forgiveness? What are they thinking concerning whatever it is? Lord, the blessing comes when we think like you. So, Father, I pray that you encourage everybody, strengthen everybody to be a doer of this word. And, Lord, I know everybody in here in this room right now is born again, but if there's someone listening now or in the future who's not received Jesus, see, the world will tell you a lot of different ways to get to heaven, but the Bible's pretty clear on it. He that believes in Jesus, receives him, will not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here, or listening, I should say, and now or in the future, and you've never received Jesus, and you want to receive Jesus, that means you get to go to heaven. That's your ticket to heaven. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man can get there except they go through me. Well, the way we go through him is through belief and receiving him. So if you're listening and you can say, I never received Jesus, I never knew how to get to heaven, or I thought I knew it, and it's not based on what you just said, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe you. Just declare your belief for him and ask him to come into your heart, and he'll save you. And he'll change you, rearrange your life, become a father unto you, and life will get better. And Father, let's just praise him tonight. Let's worship him, and then we're going to transition. And if you have to step out, you do. We're not going to be here for a long time. But it's on my heart to pray for them. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Father, we thank you that you are God who answers prayer. And Father, we thank you that in a time when they're going through something so unimaginably hard and tough, that Father, you've given them the word. You've given them a church that loves them. You've given them a pastor that will fill them with faith. You've given them the word of God that brings them comfort and peace. And Father, you are the God of comfort, and you are the God that can give peace, that can pass understanding. That is a supernatural peace that only you can give. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless that family, that you would bless mom and dad, that you would bless the three children, that you would strengthen them supernaturally. Father, that you would comfort them supernaturally. Father, that you would grant unto them a peace that passes all understanding. Father, may your hand be so tangible and strong in their life during this time. And Father, I know that is your heart. So Father, we release that tonight. And Father, we thank you that they will make it through this. Father, we thank you. We declare restoration for them. We thank you, Father, that you are good and that you will restore. And Father, the best days of the rest of their lives are still yet ahead of them. Father, this is not the end. Father, the devil would like them to think that. The devil would like to say that, but this is not the end. The best days are yet ahead for them. And Father, we thank you. They'll be propelled and catapulted. They'll be strengthened. Their faith will be strengthened. And Father, we thank you. They'll get into all that you have for them. And Holy Ghost, help us to pray now. For Father, you said if we pray in the Spirit, we pray out your perfect will. We pray out power. We pray out mysteries. And there's just things we don't know about situations. And there's things that we don't know what people might need. But Father, we're here tonight to take a little bit of time to stock the shelves for Darren and Jessica, for Emma, for Trevor, Father, for Lily. We're here to stock the shelves to whatever they would need, it would be available. So Holy Ghost, give us the utterance as we open our mouth now to pray in tongues in Jesus' name. Amen. So matadeto som protasilita masate. Esa to maharete sengotota namashiki te besto torotate. Nevrete me koto sokota namaskota reteskepe. Dele me to sanata te ketosko bromata sita la tosko brotande ketete. Drevede me sokombura tashka tarete setete. Nevreme tongo moto toto sobranda naskete rotokota la sekete. Devrebendoto sokara mahate se torata shitre me to sotro. Vramatisa no kumbra dasa teto sotra matisketro sopra pa. Vromba mata tosko trobara te sete rotoma te seke tondra te sete. Vrende mesketo shokota rabaste te kendurta sindra tate. Fleto matasa karando skondra matesetre. Avrete sobrota mahate reskontra te sketre setre. Vrepe tosko matala sete neskobra tasa. Vreto sora matasa tindo kota sa. Vrama mama tasko tropo poso tropo pondaro, rama mata sa treke tese, avrete meso kondarata sa brama katese tromatasa,
Vle meto kondra pahata se toro tosatra. Arendo sondra meto kon mahata se te te. Vle tomo tarasante cendo kondra se ketoso. Vre mangu tosha handane me se ketoto. Vrata pateso tromanta sita la toka matasa. Vre te mesero toso bandere se kete. Vrendo songoro mahate setelete, vrotana misinda lotonda na makate sokotata, vramamata sara te socombra tasse cheto toso, vrata semblento socondra nasata letete, o mamata sahate de sengo torta shatrete, vrota mati sotroma natasa tretoto. Ofranda sencleto sotra mamma mamma mate se tre, mamma mato sotra boboto sobronta sobra mamma te se, la mamma mata se tre te se blente te, rotane se che tosa tramata resete to scotrata, entro massate le scotto to sotra passa trete te, avramata sotra andare sita la tosca trapate. Vreta motoso combra nate secheto rosota, vreta sambato lo scotra masila tala, lena no sodra mamatro cotosa bratete, avrendo motoro shatrame secheto, fleto mahata secendo to socandra masketra, vramatato sotore desketrebata sotomata, vreta masapro cotosa tramateske trete. Vlete namastro toska tramata seketo to. Avramata sekreto sobrondo kombranata se trete. Abrata seko tosha trama sakurta la siti. Vlante teso koma hate le skete deveso. Romata se trama mataro sotroma kate. Vrenda mahato kombra kande deske trepese. Dremete skobron kotondo matraste sketre. Vranda namasta trama kate namaska blamba katarasatra. Vleto motosca tramata catista trossa trapete, vreto sombrondo combracatese, ramatasca traba su cotra satete, vreto sombrondo anamocota shatrasa, vleto sombra macataro tomatare sheke teso cotata, lana seco torta satra nasca tremba totra satete, vrota mata seta dopa sondra nasca trasketre, avreto sobra maquato sotra mamapa trapete, maprata sketro bosco tropa satresca tramata, avrema tondra macatare secreco tosa trapa satrista pato, abrendo nucombra mata tasatra petesco tro. La matasche blembe che te se bleme mette de che se. Ronta sapra ma catasso trapa tosso tromata. Vrenta maua torta carta se tre che so brota sambrambe. La mamato sotra mamata te scotra mamata te schetrestepe. Fretto mo corra sa blanche te scotra massatre. Trepe se trepo cotromo sotramete. La matate te.
Father, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you power has been made available. And Father, I know people have been praying before tonight, and I know people will continue to pray after tonight. But Father, we thank you corporately. We have sent power their way. And Father, we thank you they will notice it. Father, we thank you it will help them. And Father, we thank you they'll be blessed going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am just smitten with this church. I mean it. The people. I don't mean the building. I mean the people. You are so faithful and just help and do things for people, and I'm the most blessed pastor there is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand to our feet, and let's just thank God before we go. Walk out of here with faith. Leave with faith. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for all you've given to us. We honor you. We put our attention on you. And Father, you're greater than anything we face. You're greater than anything we're going through. You're greater than any lie the devil can give us. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for victory in Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.
When you see the road ahead that you've been down before, when you're halfway to nowhere and you can't pay the toll, you're hanging on to mercy, withered on the vine, with your feet on the ground, your head in the clouds, and your heart on the line. Open up your eyes. You got to rise up when this life has got you down.
Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what he has done for us.